after seeing that as many times as we've seen it, we know exactly where it's at, don't we? These guys are like, man, if we would have known, Dad, I was like, don't worry about it, you're fine. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 3, and now let's speak a few minutes. We had there's a lot of stories that I could share about what God has done just to, sometimes faith wavers, does it not? Sometimes you start an endeavor and you get like, oh, man, what am I doing? And then God throws a little spiritual oomph. You understand what I'm saying? Those that step out by faith know what I mean by that. And we've had quite a few. I'll share one with you. I work for FedEx Freight. That's my day job, I believe. At this point, we'll continue that job for until the Lord would have that door close. But there was a gentleman I delivered. He did audio video company. And he did a lot of stuff down, in the Pentagon and stuff. He did the TVs and so on, like the high-end stuff. You know what I'm talking about. The stuff that the millionaires have, houses and government. And I had talked to him because our church, Calvary Independent, was looking into upgrading their system. And so I said, hey, do you guys volunteer, or give any type of equipment towards, a church, for a write-off, whatever. And he said, we can do that, but, we have an allotment and so on and so forth. So it stayed at that. We just left it there. He called me one day. He said, hey, I had ordered an industrial fogger. It is a fogger to clean the air during COVID and a bunch of solution. And, I was going to branch out into that business in addition to what I was doing. And it just got too much where I couldn't do it. And I wanted to see if the church would be interested in that. So I said, well, it's funny you should say that since we haven't had much conversation in our with delivering and so on and so forth. I'm actually starting a church, and he lives in Cecil County. I said, I'm starting a church in Havity Grace. He's like, oh, okay. I said, would you be against if we were able to get a write-off there for you for this donation, it being used for the church? He's like, that's fine. I talked to our pastor, Pastor Christman, and made sure we could do this, take a donation, give him as a tax write-off. So we were able to do that, and we were able to sell that fogger and profit about $5,200 towards startup costs. So that's just a little something that, I did absolutely nothing except step out by faith. And so that's one. I could tell you story after story, but we'll just stop with that one. We're excited. It's the scariest thing I've ever done when I think about what I'm doing. Does that make sense, Pastor? You understand what I'm saying? He's like, what am I doing? But again, when you focus on the God that's walking on the water already, and you don't let the wind, you don't look at the wind, if you understand what I'm saying, then God will take care of you, and He will, and we're excited about that. So we have a lot going on. Keep us in prayer. When you get the prayer card, pray for a couple. Pray for safety. Pray for energy. I still work a full-time job. I'm not complaining. It's not difficult. It's fine. It's just where we're at. That God will give us the strength, energy. We're going to be, next week, we're not going to be anywhere. The next week, we're going to be in Pittsburgh area on Sunday. The next week, we'll be local church up here in New York. The next week, we're going to be in Allentown the next week. So you understand. And I had to think about this morning where I was last week. So if that makes sense. So where was I last? Where were we last week? We were in Philly. That's where we were. And then the week before, we were in Bowie. So we're getting around. And God has been very good. God has been gracious. Acts chapter 3, that's where we're going to be. I'm trying to make sure I'm giving a good explanation. The other thing I ask you to pray for is a specific building. We actually met a city councilwoman who's been part of our journey in our Bible studies and so on and so forth. Well, she got us in touch with someone in the city that has allowed us to use a city building for $75 for however long we need it. It's supposed to be 2 hours, but they don't really care. So we're able to meet on the city's dime for $75. But that is not our long-term solution. It is a temporary solution, and there's a couple buildings that we're asking the Lord, but to give us or to fund us. And I know that this is one of those things, as soon as I step out by faith and say we're starting it this day, God's going to honor that faith and give us the building. So again, we just pray for the wisdom from Pastor Chrisman, our sending church, myself, and those that are involved in making this decision, that we have God's wisdom and that and we trust the Lord on that. Acts chapter 3, if you would, we're going to read verses 1 through 10 of Acts chapter 3. And I appreciate you again being in church tonight. I was sitting here over here, and again, I talk a little bit like this because I'm, you know, just to get myself comfortable, get myself, I'm not really nervous, but just to get myself acclimated to being up here. This is the third time I've stood behind this pulpit. The first two times were when my grandparents were laying right there. And so I sure do miss them terribly. And how many remember my grandparents, Dick and Nancy Taylor? They were such wonderful people. They really were. And I just, I'm so thankful for them. And I am, of course, honored and privileged, Pastor, that you would allow me to come up here and preach. All right, so Acts chapter 3, if you would, out of respect for God's word, would you stand if you're physically able to? And we're going to read a couple of verses here. I don't ask you to do that just out of tradition, even though a lot of churches do. I ask you to do that because in the Old Testament, when the word of the Lord was open, the people stood. And it was more of a respect for God's word. And so that's why I would ask you to do that. And if that's, I appreciate you doing it. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We thank you for your word. We're thankful for that the ability to be in your church tonight. Lord, the pastor shared some folks that had just come off the bed of affliction. And Lord, even just speaking to a few folks this morning, this evening, there's those that are on the bed of affliction right now that could not be here in health issues. And Lord, we're so thankful, though, that we're able to be here, Father, and even those that are on watching online. I ask you to please meet with us. Holy Spirit of God, there's something in this thought, this principle, this truth that I believe can help us. Father, if there's anything in my notes, Lord, that you don't want me to say, I ask you to help me gloss over it and skip it and miss it, be blinded to it. Because if it's not what you would want me to say tonight, Lord, I don't want to say it. But Lord, if there is something that you would want me to say that my mind and my mouth, or my mind and my heart did not prepare for and write down, Holy Spirit of God, I give you liberty to speak through me. And Lord, give each person here spiritual ears to hear what you have for them. So Lord, when we leave here, we are a little bit closer to you, and you get all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want to jump right in here to Acts chapter 3. Contextually, this is right this time right after Pentecost was the chapter before, and the church was the first church, and people continued daily, steadfastly, the apostles' doctrine, daily fellowshipping, and that's in chapter 2:42. And fear came upon all men, and there was a revival going on because of what Jesus rising from the dead. And that still should be the case today. And there's a reason why this church is as full as today as it is today, because there is still a revival. Because of one moment in time when there was a man that was dead, and God rose him from the dead. Can I get an amen? And we have that hope, as Nathan spoke of earlier, that other religions are looking for, that blessed hope. But I want us to notice here as we transition to, obviously the chapters are not inspired, but the next phase of the story, now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And when I saw that, I thought that was really interesting, because Peter and John grew up, and there was tradition of the Judaism, the tradition of Judas, of the Jewish religion, not the Christian religion, but the Jewish religion. And the tradition was for them to go to the temple to pray. And we understand when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that veil, thank you, those big words. I was homeschooled, folks, okay? And have that Lighthouse Baptist Academy, education, those big words get me every time. The veil was torn. The temple was not necessarily, it was not part of the equation anymore. We can now come to the throne of grace. But it's interesting to me that Peter and John, even though they didn't necessarily maybe have to go to the temple, they did. I want you to think about it. They didn't necessarily have to. It was, they could go right to Jesus Christ, and they had done that. They had spent time in prayer in the upper room. They didn't go to the temple in the upper room when they prayed before the Holy Ghost came down. They prayed privately. And I want to suggest to you today that they went together in prayer. They weren't, and they were at the appointed place at the appointed time, even though they might not have had to go there. You know, God blesses people that are where they need to be, whether they need to be there or not. Think about that. Look back in your life, how God worked in your life because somebody was there that maybe didn't need to be there, but they were where they're supposed to be. I can think of the story of when the Lord revealed to me that I was lost, and this is in my notes, but this is the Lord wanted me to say. The last time I was here was Brother Westine's funeral, and he was instrumental in my life. You know, I grew up, of course, across town at a Bible, and I'm thankful for Pastor Trout and the godly heritage there. And my dad was the deacon, and we had a requirement because we were homeschooled. We had to go to chapel during the season. And I remember the season was over, and I just wanted to get out of school, so I wanted to be spiritual and ask Mom to take me to chapel because she was getting her hair done. And that's probably the honest truth because, I mean, I just didn't want to do school. So I think, Mom, can I go to chapel? I didn't have to. The requirement was up. I'm just showing you my spirituality, Sam. You know what I mean? We know each other. I'm just being real. He's like, yeah, I just wanted to get out of school. And Brother Ron preached a message, and I remember sitting, it would have been over here, right where Peyton is, maybe on the far end or maybe over here on the end. And I was under Holy Spirit conviction that I was lost. I was lost as a goose in a stable, and I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. Now, I'm a little stubborn, folks. My wife's shaking her head. And I didn't get that settled that day because I was more worried about what everybody thought. How many have ever been there before? They don't make a decision based on everybody else. That's pretty foolish, is it not? Well, I was foolish. And so I remember it was him and another gentleman. They would rotate weeks. And in my mind, how I remember it, I know I didn't make a decision for Christ that day. I just remember getting out of there and going, I'm glad that's over. How many have been in those services? I'm glad that's over. Left the same way I walked in. And I remember the next week, maybe I didn't go, but the following week, somehow I got there. Maybe I was super spiritual and wanted to go to chapel. Maybe I wanted to get out of school, probably the second of the first. And remember this particular time, I was sitting on the front row. Don't ask me why. I was sitting by myself. And Brother Ron had the audacity to finish the message from the week before that he didn't finish because of time, and he preached the same message. Because how many know when you start a message, you have to re-preach the first part of the message to finish the first message? How many know that? How many know those that just preach again, and you know, every time they get up, they preach, amen? But that's particularly what happened. And this time, it was me in God. And the whole time I was under Holy Spirit conviction. And I remember my lower lip quivering, thinking, if I die, I'm going to hell. And I made a decision for Christ that day when I was a 14-year-old boy, because there was a man who didn't sit there and say, well, I already preached this 95% of it. I need to finish it. And I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to be where God needs me to be, because there's a man, there's a young fellow right there. His whole life is going to change because of what God has me to say. Who in your life needs your life? Is there a life to be changed, but may not because you're not doing what you're supposed to do, even though you really may not need to do it? You know, we live in the age of grace. God doesn't sit there over us and lord over us and push us. No, you're not doing. He's gracious and loving and kind. He gives us liberty. Let's not frustrate the grace of God in that liberty. Peter and John here did not. They were going to the temple to pray. Isn't that wonderful that there's people on a Sunday night and a beautiful night that are in the temple to pray, if I could parallel that? No one had to be here. I mean, Brother Posh texted me and said, hey, did you know you're preaching tonight? I was on my way up. I sent him a little gif of no way, you know, just to see if he, you don't have to be here. Peter and John, as I look at this, I wonder, did they really have to go to the temple? Did they have to be there? Next thing I want us to notice is there was a man, a certain man, lame. You know, when the Bible says a certain man, that means specific. That means it's not, there was an actual person who had an actual name that was a real person. And I want you to notice there that he was lame, but I think I love how God puts words in there for help us from his mother's womb. You know, when we're living our life and we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're being faithful to God and we're just living our life as a Christian and going to this and going to that and going to work and be doing what Peter and John did, that there's going to be a certain man along your path that God has in front of you. There's going to be certain people that God needs you to be a part of. But I want you to notice here that these people that you're going to meet, they're going to be spiritually lame. This man was physically lame. But let me just propose to you today that this man's being lame was at no fault of his own. You know, as we go into the world or go to Dottie's or go to Wise Market or go to wherever we go, and we come across, there's people out there that are lame. And it's no fault of their own. It's a spiritual lame. You know, they're lost. And they're in their hearts crying for help. Because that's what this man was. I want you to notice the next thing here is that he was begging, and he was begging for a temporary fix to his problem. That's what he needed. He had a problem. He could not get up and go, so he would beg for those to come and give him an alm for the day. Now, we do have, thank God, we have something we can go to for the day. We have manna to go for the day. But this man felt like this man was looking for something else, something physical, when he really needed something spiritual. And that's what the people outside of this building, I was thinking about this when I was driving up, Pastor, and I don't know if I ever told you this, but my grandparents used to live in Boiling Springs, so we used to come up 74 from our house. And as a kid, as soon as I saw Dover, I was like, oh, man, we're going to go by the church that looks like a fort. And I remember as a little kid thinking, man, that church is so cool. It looks like a fort. You know, in my mind, all the movies that the Daniel Boones. And now I'm preaching it. It's just ironic. But it's amazing how our minds, you know, how we remember little things like that, you know, 30 years ago. But I want us to notice here, the next thing I want you to notice is we look at the scripture, that he was put there to meet his temporary needs, and he would ask alms of those coming in. And notice verse number 3. The next thing I want us to notice about the scripture, who seeing Peter and John? You know, they're watching you. People are watching you. This man saw them before they saw him. Think about that. That's what it says. Who's seeing Peter and John? Who's watching you that needs something from you, that needs, is at no fault of their own, crippled spiritually, on the way to hell, not because of anything. It came that way from their mother's womb, thanks to Adam and Eve. Who's watching you that needs, that's looking for a temporary fix to their spiritual problem, and watching you. Who's watching you today? Who looked out the window and said, "Are they going to go to church tonight? Man, it's so nice. I can understand if, oh wow, they're going to church." You know, people are watching us, folks. We are peculiar people. We're a little different. We shouldn't be weird, like Carlton. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I just threw that in there for you, buddy. But we shouldn't be weird. By the way, congratulations. I think that's great that they found each other. But you see, we should be understanding that people are watching us, that people see us. Who's watching you today? I want you to notice the next thing as we look at this scripture. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You know, he was trying to see if they can help fix his temporary problems. Who in your life is reaching out to you? Let me just tell you something. It doesn't work this way. Someone's not going to come knocking on your door. Hey, Nathan, I know you're assistant pastor at your dad's church. You know, our marriage is struggling. Can you help me? That's really not how it works. But you know what? They're still maybe asking. You need Holy Spirit discernment. Lord, are they coming to me for eggs, for eggs, or is there something more to that, if you know what I mean? You know, is that person want to work with me at work? Is it on this special project? And the person's kind of, is there a reason why you want me in their influence? I mean, sometimes we are wrapped up in our own little world, our own little thing. Man, can you believe, honey, they put me with this guy and he is a weirdo. You know, he's different. You know, he's all these things. And that guy goes home and says, honey, they put me with a Christian. I mean, come on. Yeah. Maybe that person's trying to call out. Maybe he's trying to get some help. I don't know. As the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, I don't know. But to notice in verse number 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. You know, Peter and John, as soon as they saw the need, made it a priority. Who's the priority in your life when God reveals to you that there's somebody that's in need? Could be a wayward grandchild. It could be a wayward child. I don't know. It could be something that's so private and personal that you and the Lord bear it together. But in this story here, we see Peter and John, as soon as they realized what was going on, they made a priority to this man in verse number 4. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. You know, Peter didn't have to look to John and say, hey, John, we can help this guy. Yeah, I know. Let's get him to look at us, and then we're going to use the power of the Holy Spirit. That, you know, they were in one accord. They were together. You know, they were so right with the Lord that they didn't need to have a little powwow on whether or not they were going to help this guy. They knew because of the Holy Spirit guided them, and they were immediately on the same page. Isn't it wonderful when Pastor, the Church of Jesus Christ, is on the same page because of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't your job be so much more, wouldn't it be so much more relaxing and more? Sometimes we let the Holy Spirit, we forget about the Holy Spirit, folks, that we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're supposed to be listening to the Holy Spirit, that we're supposed to be sensitive to sin and humble enough when we do to ask forgiveness. And so Peter and John had done all that, so when that moment came for help, they were ready. You know, I think sometimes we're not ready because we're not daily coming to the throne of grace and getting our alms from Him. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. Life is hard. I mean, you don't understand. Oh, you don't understand. There's someone out there that needs you. You know, we got to think about this. Pastor mentioned it before about heaven. It's real. And as much as heaven is real, hell is as well. One of the greatest messages of our alma mater that still rings true today in my mind is Brother Hiles, is there a hell? I'm sure you probably heard it in person when you were out there. Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Now, folks, we're not trying to scare people, but there's a reality here. That if Peter and John weren't ready, if they weren't ready, what would have happened to this person? I want you to notice, and I already kind of alluded to it in verse number 5, and he gave heed unto them, the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And it's just like those that need help, they're still thinking the temporal, aren't they? You know, they're not thinking big picture. They're thinking, oh, I'm going to be able to get through today. Can you give me something to get me through today? Man, I wonder if that Christian can help me with my marriage today. Well, the marriage today is not the problem. It's the person in the marriage that's lost. But we think so temporal, and we can be guilty of it too. We can be guilty of it. God, can you just help me today? Can you just help me today? And so what I'm saying is this person here, this certain man that was a real person that needed, that was no fault of his own, was crippled, and he would sit there and he would ask for alms to get him through the day. And Peter and John saw them he saw Peter and John coming to where they were, the temple, whether they were supposed to, where they needed to, but they were in the right place, where they were supposed to be. And he asked them of alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon them, and they were focused. As soon as they realized this was why God brought us here, one of the reasons why God brought us here, we're going to fasten our eyes, and being on the same page and being in one accord with the Holy Spirit of God, the certain man still didn't get it. You know, how many people have God give us influence over and we get frustrated with them when they act like lost people? I mean, think about that. Like, we get frustrated with people when they act like they're lost. What's wrong with you? There's no Holy Spirit in them. That's why God brought you. Hello. And so that often is the case. But he was looking for a temporary fix. And we notice here that Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You know, Peter and John gave the permanent solution. The permanent solution is this right here, folks. Think about that person in your life. Mine was Ron Westein. He's with the Lord now. But who's that person in your life that gave you the permanent solution for your problem? Can I get an amen? Everybody here has a person that God used. Now God wants you to be the person for the next person. Aren't you thankful that that person that pointed you to say, hey, you know what? Let me just cut to the chase here. You need Jesus. Let's start at the foundation. Think about that person in your life, and aren't you thankful that God allowed that person to be obedient where he was, where he's supposed to be, at the right place at the right time? Aren't you thankful that he didn't give you a temporary solution, that he gave you an eternal solution, and you received the gift of the salvation through the person? Aren't you thankful for that? Yeah. Now go do likewise. See, it's easy to receive. It's hard to give, is it not? It's easy to receive. Oh, I got saved. Bless God. Oh, and this world's going to hell in the handbasket. Oh, the Lord bless our country. What are we doing about it? Now, I'm not trying to rebuke because that's not my place. And but let's just be honest. What are we doing about it? Well, you know, it's going to be a long week at VBS, so I don't know if I can. There's an opportunity to do something about it. There's an opportunity to do something about it. Yeah, but you don't understand. I can't teach. Well, can you make a delicious cupcake? Because I'm sure there's a pastor that will eat one of your delicious cupcakes. And there will be a young person that would eat a delicious cupcake. And if that one young person gets saved because of a delicious cupcake, isn't that what it's all about? So we have to, sometimes we get our minds and we get so wrapped up. And look, I'm speaking to myself. I do it too. My soul, you working all day? You understand what I'm talking about. I mean, work a secular job. You understand? It's mentally, physically, emotionally drowning. You're in the world. You're with worldly people. They hold you to a higher standard. You know, oh, I thought you were a Christian. Like, really? Like, I didn't say anything wrong, but okay. You know what I mean? They throw that out there when it benefits them. But when they need prayer, who do they come to? Hey, you know, I'm really going through a tough time. You know, the double the lost, right? And so Peter and John gave the permanent solution. There's a guy I work with, and he has heart issue. And he, obviously, if you're driving a tractor trailer, you can't have a heart issue and drive a tractor trailer. And so when that heart issue became, you understand what I'm saying, Carlton, they have every 2 years you got your thing, and then if there's a problem, it goes to 1 year, 3 months, and then, you know, CDLs is something, health is important. And so he has a lower, his lower heart is defib, is that the right word? Sound. AFib, that's what it is. I knew it was one of the letters of the alphabet. I went to chapel that day. You know that letter was taught and got saved. So no, but so his one of his lowest hearts in AFib, it's like 40% of his lower heart. It's just a mess. And so when that he got stand down and he's a Marine. He served our country and just everything has just bottomed out. I reached out to him and. He called me one day and he just told me everything. I mean, it's just, it brought rock, his marriage is on, it just has, everything has dropped. They can't get answers. They finally got answers. He's having surgery in August. But, I said, can I just tell you about the Lord? I tell you, he loves you and you could use this. And I witnessed to him. And I'm not sure if he heard it, but we still worked on it. And then he called me Thursday, and we talked for about an hour, and his cousin overdosed on drugs, and it just, again, the bottom's dropping out, and I'm just waiting for the opportunity, again, to get the permanent solution. Because, look, I would not want to be in his shoes. It's rough. It's rough. I mean, it's rough. But the permanent solution is Jesus Christ. The permanent solution. And at the end of this all, and then when it's all said and done, why are we here? We are here for the very last portion of this scripture. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and let's say it together, praising God. This whole story comes down to those two words, praising God. The whole purpose of our lives is to what? Praise God. That was one thing Brother Ron taught us, is to praise the Lord. Brother Ron Weststein, very instrumental in my life. We would... And I know, and he taught us to praise the Lord. And there's a whole book of the Bible, Psalm, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, psaltery and heart, praise. And let everything have breath, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. As a kid, I had Alexander Scorby CD, and I don't know where the whole realm of the book was, but I had the last portion of Psalm That was the only one I had. So I would fall to sleep to let everything that had breath praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many remember Alexander Scorby, his speaking? And so that's forever in my mind as a boy. And the whole purpose of our life is to give God the glory. And that, I mean, these guys didn't say, hold on a second. Hey, certain man, let me remind you, we didn't have to necessarily be here today. You know, we didn't really need to come to the temple at the ninth hour of prayer. We didn't really need to, but we're here. And so, yeah, you noticed us. And yeah, we don't have the money, but don't forget, we helped you up. We lifted you up. I mean, he took him by the right hand. It was my hand. It was my hand that lifted you up. Let's not forget that. You know what? God doesn't like that. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want his glory to go through you. A lot of pastors, a lot of people have fallen, huh, Pastor? Because they started receiving the glory that deserved to be God's. And this man right here, they knew that it was he which sat. You know what? When God changes a life, when someone comes to that door and God, they say, that was the guy. Look at him now. There's no other explanation but God. And isn't that what it's all about anyway? It's not about Joe McConkie starting a church, having a Grace Maryland. Man, that's good for you. Praying for it's no. Please. It's about the Lord. It's about being obedient. You know, it's not about having 200, a huge building. It's not about having hundreds and hundreds and reporting to the alma mater. We had 1,000 in Sundays. It's not about that. It's about one person. It's about a Nick. It's about reaching Marty, the first lady, then a Nick, or the other people that God has brought our path. It's about that person. It's about a certain man or certain woman. You know, let's not get wrapped up in the bigness of ministry. Let's get back in the people. One person, one man, and let God use you to help that one person, one man, receive the eternal gift of salvation. And by the way, let me just explain something to you. He didn't need to be by that gate anymore, because that temporary fix took care of his big issue problem. Now he could work. He could go get his own, provide for his own family. He didn't need to beg anymore, because God had fixed the problem. God wants to fix some problems in our community through you so he can get the glory.